will be able to join us later. Sweetie, do you want to start the centering, or do you want me to? Or we can even have Sean do it if we want to get crazy. Sean does weekly meditations on Monday mornings. Sean, we want to center us for 60 seconds or so?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Okay, wherever you are, whether you're lying down, sitting, standing, just close your eyes. And just take note of your body. How do you feel right now? And as we come together for this discussion, can you just let any tension or resistance go from your body? If you feel heavy, relaxed, soft, now just take note of thoughts that might be in your head. What's occupying you right now? And as you see it, can you just let it go for an hour? Just a time to be together, to share, to listen, to be engaged as a community. When you're ready, open your eyes. And we'll come back together.
Thank you, Sean Emerson. So welcome, everybody. Yeah, go ahead, sweetie.
Can I start? Because we're all in this like good space, like right now. Sure. That felt really good, Sean. Thank you. I was just talking to my friend Nancy this morning, and she is in charge of the downtown for University of Iowa. That's like her job. And she's been getting a lot of pushback because there's been a lot of protests in the downtown area, especially with the kids coming back. And she is holding strong and like really speaking up for those kids and really allowing this time with everything going on with Jacob Blake and his family and everything going on, and really just saying, this is, even if it's interrupting this or the, you know, community is angry, this is what needs to happen. And I just wanted to not just raise up Nancy, but Jacob Blake and his family and everybody who is out there doing, you know, this work continues. And I just wanted to make sure that as a community, we're still paying attention to what's going on in the world right now.
Thank you, sweetie. So yeah, there's quite a few of you on here. Usually we have about 12 or 15. It looks like we got about 22 people on here or so. I always say, hi, my name's Todd Adams. I'm at Zen Parenting Radio. Kathy and I are usually side by side, but because of the configuration of our house and our kids being on their computers, we are trying something a little bit different. So I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. I know we at least have a few new people. Most of you people are veterans of Team Zen. Aside from Ryan, is there anybody else new? And if you are, just raise your hand or put something in the chat box. And I'm just going to give Ryan, because you're new, maybe 30 or 60 seconds just to introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, all that good stuff. So go ahead, Ryan.
I, for some reason, was not ready to do this. So I guess the most interesting things about me are that I'm an energy healer. I am developing a modality that incorporates a couple of different things that I don't know have ever been put together before. And I'm super excited about it. I've got a book that's very close to being pushed through the editing and publishing process. And well, I didn't think I was going to share this, but I recently just decided to start peeing sitting down because I found myself in a bathroom with a black light for some reason. And I was like, well, there's no avoiding this mess, no matter how good my aim is. And so it's just easier for everybody if we all just just take a seat. So that's I'm gonna leave you right there.
Wow, that's a great way to leave it.
That's three great shares.
Yes, talk about jumping in the deep end of the pool. So yeah, real quick on Ryan. You know, I don't know if this is going to come out right, but Ryan just joined as a team member yesterday, I think. And I'm like, oh my God, we have a guy joining. And then, Ryan can be a man or a woman. So I went to your Facebook and I'm like, oh, it's a guy. I'm so glad because this is dominated by women and I would love a better balance. And then I saw that, you know, Ryan's a man of color and I'm like, oh my God. So this is for me, like exciting. So I just want to kind of own that excitement and be honest with Ryan about it. And Ryan and I have exchanged emails just this morning and he has a podcast himself called True North with Abby and Ryan. And I'm just going to read what it says, you know, if you go to it and do a search for it. Abby and Ryan, Abby is an intuitive healer and life coach and Ryan is an energy worker and an artist. They meet up weekly to explore personal development, emotional wellness, and how we can take cues from our bodies, minds, and experience to find opportunities to grow as human beings. No intro, no music, no editing. You get our raw, unfiltered conversations. Yes, it kind of scares the shit out of us too, but it also takes less time and energy to crank these suckers out. Oh, and it's more authentic this way. So for any of you guys willing to check it out, I actually started listening to one of them already, and it's titled Abby Makes Ryan Cry.
Has the most listens.
Oh, does it really?
Oh, for sure.
So I have an attraction towards that. So yeah. So anyways, so this is the way it works. You guys are all in a place. My guess is certain things in your life are going well, certain things you're challenged by. And it's just an opportunity for you guys to express some things that you're challenged by. We have a few pieces that were emailed in. Millie's here, I think. Is Millie here? I thought I saw her. If not, I can read it. And it's just an opportunity for Kathy and I and maybe some of you to kind of help support whoever happens to be seeking out support. Does that sound about right, sweetie? All right. So I'm going to, I know who, somebody else. Judy, do you want to start? Instead of me reading, you want to say it or do you want me to read it? And I'm trying to find you. And before I go to you, there's quite a few of us on the call. So if you want, you can go to speaker view, which I prefer. Instead of seeing 20 tiny faces, it just brings up whoever happens to be talking at the time. It makes me feel more connected. Where's Judy?
I'm right here.
There you are. Do you want to talk or do you want me to read?
Maybe you can read it and then I'm okay to talk about it after.
Okay. Sounds good. Hi, Todd and Kathy. I have a question about motivation. The last podcast, I agree with everything you said, yet my question is what to do about long-term goals. My example is we as a family do Hungarian scouts, but we live in Canada. To become leaders in scouts, we have to go through an exam in Hungarian culture, history, and geography. My two kids protested every week when they were going to study for the exam, but once they were done, they were so proud of themselves. I was proud of them too, but it's not the point. They felt they really achieved something. It also enabled them to go to this leadership camp and become leaders, and that made them even more proud of themselves. But the process to get them to this point was really painful. How do these long-term plans fit into what you said on the podcast to motivate kids on the short-term pain to see the long-term gain? Oh, that's a really interesting question. And I know Kathy's going to have a take. It's interesting. My experience, I used to get mad at my mom for not making me play the guitar. I told her I want to play the guitar. She got me a guitar, but then I just got distracted and never played the guitar. And now as an adult man, I'm like, God, I wish you would have forced me to do it. And I judge that is kind of short-term thinking. And sometimes I find myself in the same position as a parent. Like, you know, if we just kind of force them to do things, they'll see the other side of it. And I think it depends on what's important. You know, Hungarian scouts sounds like it's an interesting thing. It's not like a hobby, like playing the guitar or the piano. Maybe that was a little more important to you, Judy. So I think you have to kind of weigh the balance of how important is this to you or to your family, kind of like school. Like we kind of like school is a game that has to be played. So we don't really give our kids an option like, oh, do you want to go to school or not today? We're like, this is part of the game you play. So I'm going to pass it on to Kathy and see what she has to say.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's all about intention, Judy, because there are some things that for your family or like Todd said, when it comes to school, that aren't discussions of, is this going to happen or is this not going to happen? This is part of our culture. This is an expectation in our family. And how can I support you in getting through this, which you're willing to put your energy toward supporting your kids, hearing their pushback, continuing to hold the line. And when I say hold the line, that doesn't mean yelling at them or forcing them. It's about saying we're going to get through this and I'm going to support you through this. But when we start imposing that kind of what we call motivation on every single thing our kids do, especially if the intention is we want them to do it because, like, you know, Todd's guitar thing. I want my kid to play guitar because it'd be so cool if they played guitar. I want my kid to play drums because I played drums. I want my kids to practice more soccer because I was a soccer player or soccer is where their friends are. That's a different kind of intention. That's more of, I want things to look a certain way and I'm going to push them. Now, when my girls have been really interested in something, like I just had a discussion with my daughter, Skylar, who's in the other room last night about piano, because this summer she kind of got into it. Really wasn't piano, keyboard. And she got into it and then took a break. And I said to her, I said something like, when you used to play keyboard, she goes, well, I still play keyboard. She goes, I may go back to it. And I'm like, I totally understand. And I said, but remember, like, to get to that next level of keyboard, that's where you got to push through the discomfort. You know, that's where you have to, like, when you're going to get to that next level, when the reason you stopped is because it got hard. I said, but you'll get to the next level if you push through. She's like, I know, I'm getting ready. So I just told you a bunch of different things. One is that if our kids are really interested in something, then we can support them and say, you've told me this is important to you, so I'm going to help you. If something is important for our family or by law they need to do it, like go to school, then we say, this is, like Todd said, this is not a decision we're making. This is something that does need to be done. So let's figure out a way to support you in getting it done. But then on things that aren't essential, that's where we want to maintain our own energy, meaning we don't need to, you know, be like, you have to look at every aspect of your life through this same lens, because some things can be more fluid and flowy and they don't have to be. Again, this can go deep down a rabbit hole. Is what does success mean? What does being good at something mean? Whereas your example, Judy, there really was a place they had to get. You know, they have to learn this to get here. And to your point, now you have that experience with them that you can always point to. Do you remember how you felt? Do you remember how difficult that was? But you got through it. But again, me to you as a parent, yeah, like, be thoughtful about when you use that. Like, we're not going to use that example of, see, you carried in the groceries and you put them away. Don't you feel good? Like, you know, we want to use it sparingly, you know, for the things that make the most difference. I think this is a question we often get. And actually Millie's question that I read before is similar in that, how do I motivate my kids? And we've got to, like, kind of break apart what the word motivation means and kind of, you know, why are we doing it? What does success mean to us? Where are they in their lives? What does a kid need instead of what do we think they should need? Those are two different things. Putting on our kid glasses and being like, remembering what Carl Jung said, which is human beings are willing to change once they're accepted. That paradoxical thing, you know, it doesn't help kids to tell them that they're not motivated or that they're lazy. Those things don't inspire. Those just decrease motivation.
Well, and I'll say one thing, and then I want to hear what Judy has to say. So I'm going to invite you to unmute yourself, Judy. This might be a little too zen, but what I would say to parents a lot when, like, oh, my kid has to learn how to play the piano. And I used to say, like, if your kid is meant to play the piano will find him or her.
Yeah.
And parts of me, like, that feels good to say that, like, if they're supposed to, and that's like intrinsic motivation, kind of what we talked about on the podcast. I also can see how that could be annoying to hear, because, like, well, then if I just let my kids do whatever they want, then they're just going to play Xbox and that's all they're going to want to do. So I think it's a balance. So I'm going to turn it back to Judy. Judy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, all of this is really helpful. It's what you just, I was along with what you were saying, like use it sometimes if it's really important, then kind of lay down the expectation that we are going to do this. I also, and then I listened to your podcast, and it's reassuring to hear what you're saying.
That, good.
Especially seeing the results, but when we are going through a process, we sometimes don't know what the results will be. So we don't know if we are pushing them too hard and they're going to hate us for it later, or, you know, we don't know. And this, Todd, you just said that the piano will find them. Sometimes in certain areas, yes, and sometimes no. Like, I think this was really a big, this exam was really a big hurdle for them. I don't think they would have done it without being pushed.
Mm. Yeah.
In this case.
Yeah.
The goal was too far away for them to see. Like, they really had to study hard for a whole year to get there. And it was too far for them to see that what they're going to gain after. So, sometimes yes, sometimes no, I think.
And Judy, I love, and by the way, you guys, sorry I'm holding my earphones this way, but when they're on my ears, I can't hear. And Todd, these earphones kind of blow. Do we have any
other coming stuff? In. Yeah, I got more coming in.
So Judy, what I was going to say is just the way you explained that, your intention is really grounded. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? Like, when people come to us and saying, but my kid wants to quit soccer, but shouldn't I push them and explain to them? And I'm like, there's something in that that feels like it's more for you. Where Judy, just the way you said that, you were like, they're not going to be able to see it. This is where I need to help them. And you're grounded in your intention. They're not, this is the thing about parenting and the self-aware part, or about being conscious of where you're coming from, is if you're coming from an honest, intentional place where you really do understand something your kids don't understand, not from a fear-based place, not like, oh God, if this doesn't work out, but like a place like, oh, I know that they're going to have a difficult time with this, so I'm going to show up for them and support them and motivate them and move them along, or whatever language you want to use. Again, I'm just saying that the way you said that felt so different than a lot of times the questions we get from parents.
So we're going to go to Millie in a second. One resource I want to give to you, and there's a million of them that we could probably throw out, Judy, but Jessica Leahy has a book called The Gift of Failure. And it talks a lot about the intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. It's a really accessible book. I read it very quickly, which is hard for me to do. So that's one resource I want to give. Any other resources you might want to give, sweetie?
No, I think that's good. And I think that even, you know, one thing I could say, because this comes up a lot as far as motivation, I don't know if some of you listened to Dax's podcast when he interviewed, Angela Duckworth, who talks about grit. But, you know, when Angela Duckworth did all of her research about grit, just like any popular book, it got kind of whittled down to like this one sentence thing, where a lot of what she researched got kind of lost in translation. And I really liked her interview with Dax, because not only is she like the coolest woman ever and like so laid back and down to earth, but she kind of explains grit in a different way, that not every aspect of our lives needs to be gritty. Some things we just do and we get through it. Some things we do and decide we're done. Some things we do and we find something else because of it. And then some things we have to really buckle down and do it because of whatever life circumstances we have. And I think the thing that she talked about that I really appreciate is there's no absolute message across the board, meaning that what I maybe think is so important for my kids to be, and I'm using the word gritty, you know, like as an adjective, it may not be the same for another family. Is that, you know, depending on our education, our culture, our religion, our experiences, there are certain things that have to happen and certain things that we can be more laid back about. But again, she discussed this too. It just goes back to our intention as parents. And are we trying to promote that our kids look a certain way? Are we trying to the outside world? Are we trying to promote a sense of themselves through the process? And that's, to your point, Judy, you already got that covered.
So I just put that interview in the chat box, and it'll be in the show notes afterwards when you guys get the private podcast feed. I'm going to go to Millie. I'm going to read it just because she's managing her kids right now. And she only has 11 minutes because she's got to bail in 11 minutes. So, sweetie, I'm going to read it, and then I want you to jump in. Millie says, what do you say to a kid, an 8-year-old third grader, who refuses school and says, I'm not doing school. It's dumb. And when asked why do he asked why do he, that he feels it's dumb. Why does he not want to go to school? He says he just doesn't want to, and that is hard to explain. When asked if he finds the work hard, he says no. So while we've tried to dig to get to the source of his refusal, he says he can't verbalize it. This happened in the spring, also when distance learning started. At that time, we had to do stuff that we'd normally cringe to do. We dangled toy rewards and got semi-compliance. The teachers have suggested maybe a system of earnings privileges for Zoom classes attended and work done. What do you guys think about that? Right now, there is no consequence for not attending school. We haven't forced him to do anything in the spring, and now we are putting our kids' emotional well-being over everything else. But if the kid is seemingly capable, do we just let him continue to refuse school? I'm out of ideas. Mm-hmm. Sweetie, go ahead.
Well, you know, I think that sometimes, I'm trying to think, there was something that happened yesterday that I feel like I was having, oh, maybe it was during the presentation, but there's sometimes we're talking about things on the surface level, like why does he think it's dumb, or why does he feel this way, or what's all, and it, that's all like the surface level of what's going on. Meaning that instead of trying to debate the language or debate, you know, why he thinks school, you know, like trying to get to the core of why he thinks school is dumb. Instead, let's get deep about what he's communicating. I don't want to do this. This feels overwhelming. I'm not sure I can do it. I'm afraid of this. This feels uncomfortable. Like, I'll give you an example, Millie, since we talk about our kids all the time. The 2 days before school started, Todd was actually out of town, and Skylar, my seventh grader, who seemed pretty ready for the year because they were going to start on Monday, had a total breakdown about, like, you know, just, and I was working and I was trying, I was like, what? I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. Like, I was being very like passive, like, you're good. You're good. And she really stopped me and said, Mom, you're not hearing me. It all feels scary. And she did a really good job of like stopping me. I put stuff down and she kind of was able to kind of get all that out and the concern. And the discussion we had was less about don't feel that way and more about, yeah, it's totally new. And yeah, you know, nobody really knows what they're doing, do they? And I don't know what the first day is going to look like. And I couldn't even soothe her and say, this is what it'll look like, because I didn't even know. And the teacher doesn't know. And I guess my point is, Millie, is instead of talking to him about why do you feel this way, because he doesn't really know, like he can't answer that in an adult way, is saying, maybe just agreeing with them. You're right. Some of this feels, you don't have to say the whole thing is dumb. Some of this feels dumb. Some of this feel, you're right. You're right. Some of this feels ridiculous. We're kind of in a crazy, ridiculous time. And the but is, going back to what we said before about motivation, this isn't really a choice, in that even though it's different and can feel dumb and difficult, as an 8-year-old, school still has to happen. We can be creative in how it happens, and you can talk to the teacher about maybe doing more offline than online, because maybe when it comes to it, it's having a screen with a bunch of kids his age staring at him. Maybe it's turning off his camera. And this is something you can talk to the teacher about. But instead of trying to make it better for him or convince him that it isn't dumb or that he has to do this in like an intense way, it's more like, so this does have to get done, but let's figure out creatively how to do it. Even if it's him starting with one class the first week, your expectation is this much, and then continuing it and not saying this will only be your expectation the whole year, but we're going to start with this. Because what he's doing is he's building, as all of our kids are and as we are as adults, he's building a new muscle. How do I do this kind of learning? I knew how to do the other kind of learning. I don't know how to do this kind of learning. And it feels easier just to say it's dumb and not do it than to venture into something so unknown. Can't we all relate? Right? So what you hold the line on, just like Judy was holding the line on that, you know, that what she was doing with her kids, is school is going to happen. You know, we're going to figure out how to do it and we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to talk to your teacher, but this is something we'll have to do, but let's do it at a pace that is doable for you. And because that is putting his mental well-being first. You can mix the two. It's not that they're separate entities. It's not, okay, there's school and then there's mental well-being. There can be both at the same time.
Kathy, so can I say?
Yeah, please.
I have done pretty much everything you have said. We've empathized. We've validated his feelings. We have said, we don't have to do it all. And for sure, they don't, but neither of my boys show their faces. When Aaron is all in, he can be all in for like one meeting. And I said, we don't have to do the meetings. We can just listen to it on the side. You don't have to sit in front of the camera. And I just want to hear the lesson and let's just do the work. I've given them the option of, we just take one tiny little step. We just do one more thing today. Refusal. Mm-hmm. So I guess where I'm at, and we're about to meet with the school.
Good.
For us to, you know, to come up with some strategies. We met with them literally a few weeks into distance learning in the spring. And I reread the paperwork, pretty much the same thing. Yeah. He refused it then, he's refusing it now. I don't want to start dangling stuff in front of him like we did in the spring. It's only the beginning of the school year. And I realize it could be I need for both my boys to feel safe. Mm-hmm. First. I mean, safe, like emotionally safe, right? Yep. New teachers. We don't have the benefit of having teachers we already knew, like we did in the spring. So I, you know, we have to figure out how to make them feel emotionally safe. And then hopefully they can get engaged. My wanting to kind of dig is to understand, like, because he says it's not hard. I personally think that some of it is hard, and that's his way of refusing, you know, his way of saying, no, it's hard, but I'm just not going to do it. And then I'll have to show that I can't do some of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's my personal guess. But when he just says, nope, not going to do it. Nope, I'm not going to show up for the meeting. I'm not going to do this. And even some of the stuff could be a little fun. Doesn't want to do any of it. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where to go from there. Cause I know the teachers will be wanting to know, well, what's the consequence for that? I'm like, right now, I'm not going to force him to do it. I can't force him to do it. I'm not sure where to go to even get him to do one little tiny thing. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I love that. And I love everything you're saying, Millie. And it's so hard. And you're right. The school can sometimes be a little more typical in, well, if he's not going to do it, what are you going to take away? Or what are you going to do? What are the consequences going to be? And maybe if they happen to say that, shifting your language to, instead of focusing on the consequences, what are the other options to make sure he's learning? How can you, as the teacher, support me? Because I do want to make sure he's learning. As a family, education is important to us. But right now, in this moment, I know what my son needs is to feel safe. I can feel it as a mother. I know that. And so I know that makes it, I think that, and I'm saying this as a teacher myself, but I know there's other teachers who are, you know, on this Team Zen, is that when a teacher feels like the parent is joining them in, like, I totally understand this importance and I know it's easier if all the kids fall in line, but let me do some things with my kid that might be different in the hopes that they can, like, the car is driving, but I can get them in the car later, but I'm going to like go alongside you and do something as similar as possible, which to me, if I was the teacher, what I would say to you is, okay, I am going to send you what the expectations are. And let's just figure out how he can maybe do some autonomous work just so he's not missing everything. Autonomous meaning he doesn't have to be on the screen. And I think sometimes as parents, we're like, yeah, but everybody else has to do it. So why do I get special attention? It's not special attention. It's just right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, your son is not always going to be refusing school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hope you feel good.
And this doesn't feel right, but I'm going to say it anyways. Jennifer put in a chat box, and I'm just trying to throw as much shit at the wall for Millie as I can. I wonder if you just let him know that if he doesn't get it done, he may fall behind a year, which is fine, but just so he knows that that's why or why not to do the work.
He doesn't care.
He
doesn't care.
Well, and to
last
Judy's,
year, he said, I don't want to finish third grade. I don't want to go to third grade. That's what he said last year. I'm like, okay. He didn't care about progressing. Mm-hmm.
Right. And kind of like what Judy was saying before in her question, kids don't have that kind of, some do, and some concern themselves a little more and they get anxious about the future. But a lot of kids don't have that sense of, if you say, you know, it's like kids are so present that if you say to them, hey, we're going to Disney World in November, they're like, that's forever away. Like they can't even get excited about it. Like, so when we say to a kid, you know, but you might fall behind, they kind of don't give a shit. You know, they're like, dude, right now I feel more comfortable just doing what I'm doing and I'm going to hide. I mean, how many of us as adults even still do that? Like, wow, if I don't finish this work tonight, I'm going to be behind tomorrow. But then how many of us go to Netflix anyway? Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't, it's for some, like some of you may have kids who are like, yeah, that's their motivation. This isn't an across the board, but their brains aren't quite there because it's around nine years old. They start to get more abstract in their thinking.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is, you know, obviously this is a challenge, Millie. And my guess is if this were to happen to me, it would put me in this some kind of fear-based state or this state of threat. So it's an opportunity for you to kind of like locate yourself and like right now I'm afraid. So like use this as an opportunity because it will pass. Like eventually this will get figured out. This will unfold. So what is this here to teach you? I don't know. You don't know. You won't know until it's a year or 10 years down the road, but just it's an opportunity like, wow, I'm really frustrated right now or whatever. And just like try to identify what you're feeling and find a healthy way to express it. That's the invitation I would do. Sean asked, what does he want to do? Does he want to play games? What are some of the things that lights him up? Because obviously it's not school.
Okay. So this is where over the summer after the, and even in the spring, the way we were able to get him engaged, which required so much work on our part, is he is obsessed with World War II. So we literally, shifted, you know, the lessons to somehow incorporate World War II stuff. That just took so much energy to do, if you can imagine, right?
I bet.
So, okay, which we can try to do now. and we have, you know, already. But then over the summer, he started taking online classes at outschool.com. It did not require writing, didn't require math. He just sat there and listened and watched video, you know, the teacher teach about World War II. Loves it. Completely engaged. He raises his hands, you know, contributes. So I know, and he continues to do those classes. We're paying for him and, you know, he's going to keep doing them. So I know he's learning and he's a super smart kid. It's again, it's really just this current situation. And also Todd, I hear you on, I know the universe is trying to teach me something with this whole situation. And I'm trying to, you know, internalize any of those lessons. And I have let go so much more than in the spring. Yeah. Right now it's more, I just want to get him engaged. I want him, you know, to feel emotionally safe first. And then I want to get him engaged to at least dip his toe in and try something. And then I think with a little bit, maybe he will do more. But I don't even know how to get him to get there. You know, lead that horse to that water. So anyway, but we'll just keep trying.
Yeah. And, you know, just even that, like that's your intention. And it may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but it may be next week and then he'll fall back. And then the next week he'll dip his toe again and then he'll have a great, it's like, it's going to be an interesting road. This is like another, you know, as if you need more of this, Millie, right now, but it's another kind of uncertainty, you know, like it's another kind of like, cause like Todd said, one thing I can guarantee you is this, when I say this is going to pass, I don't mean, oh, he's always going to love school. I just mean, this will not always be a problem, but right now it's uncertain when it will end, how it will end, and how much effort you're going to have to put into the process. So it's almost like a surrender in the best way, not the surrender of giving up, but the surrender of this is what it is, and having kind of a sense of humor and talking to the teacher, which you're already doing. Your energy is so chill, Millie. Maybe it's because you're tired of dealing with this. That could be a big part of it, but you
worn out.
You do not look afraid to me. You do not feel afraid to me. You're just like, we're doing the things. And sometimes, and this is kind of leaving you in this, you know, ambiguity, but sometimes you just got to do the things and there's not a result. You just keep doing the things.
So I'm sorry, sweetie.
Go ahead, hon.
So I'm going to read a few comments from some of the team members. But the other thing I just want to say, like to a varying degrees, Millie, we're all dealing with some form of what it is that you're dealing with. So I just want to make sure that you know you're not alone. Now, right now, it sounds like Aaron is really, really challenged. And I honor that. I don't want to minimize that. But you know, you're frustrating your kid because he's not doing what you want him to do. I think everybody here would probably raise their hand and say that we can all relate to that. So a few comments. Jennifer asked, does he, and this is, I know you can read this yourself, Millie, but it's more for the people that listen afterwards. Does he like one-on-one teaching with just you or your husband? Holly says he sounds like a great homeschooler. It's hard to get kids to do things they're not interested in. It's hard to get anyone to do that. Check out the philosophy around unschooling. It may bring you some peace of mind. And Nikki says, I've been in that place. It taught me to let go of should, give him the space to feel safe and find learning he loves. I love what you are saying, Millie. You've got this. So yeah. any feedback on any of that, Millie?
He does not necessarily do. He did well one-on-ones with the teacher in the spring. With us, sometimes it'll just depend on the time. And if we, you know, if we change it up to be around World War II, no problem. Or not no problem, but he is more willing. Mm. Homeschooling, I literally started thinking that, even though I thought homeschooling I could never do it, me personally. I've thought about it, but again, I don't know that I'm the right teacher, yeah. right? Just yeah. from what I've seen so far. Unschooling, I know I need to look into that a little bit more. So I've been trying to think of like other ways. I just want to pull him from third grade. I'm like, hey guys, you know, I mean, I don't know if I could even do that. It's not against the law. I'm like, guys, maybe we can do third grade next year. I've literally thought about that. I'm like, yeah. We'll find other ways to learn right now. You can do this, repeat again, but they're like, what? Then they're going to be with second graders that are right, next year, right. third graders, right? And so they don't want that. But I think my more immediate question is the whole token reward system. I'm going to be right there. Okay, go ahead and print. Go ahead, just hit. Oh, okay. I got to help my kid print something. But like the whole, even the therapist and the schools are thinking, what about some reward system that, you know, for motivation? I have never liked the idea of, sorry, I'm distracted right now here, but here we go, of a reward system. But I mean, if it was a token, like you do a class, you do an activity, each thing, you earn a token, and then you, depending on how many tokens, we could have a chart of things that they earn. I just don't love the whole reward system, which we ended up having to do in the spring. So that did not set a good precedent. I just wondered what you guys thought about that whole reward token, whatever, you know, system.
Well, I'll say that, you know, like it's based in research and that it's behavioral therapy. You know, this is a real thing. It's also gotten, you know, kicked around a lot, meaning that kicked around, kind of kicked to the ground, because behavioral therapy is so like cause and effect that in the long term, what you're teaching is you do something if you get something in return. It's a reciprocity thing, right? Instead of an internal motivation. With that said, because I don't really love it either. But what I'll also say to you is if you're trying a bunch of things and just throwing a bunch of things at the wall and you decide to create something of your own, like World War II, you know, and I'm making this up because I'm sure he's beyond this, but World War II time or a special book or a special movie or whatever, it's okay to give it a try. I mean, you don't have to put the chart on the wall and be like, we're going to put a star every time. You can build it to your own taste of what does feel right. Like use your own intuition, like, yeah, this is fine, rather than have another therapist or someone who doesn't know your kids say, this is exactly how it should look. Because really, in the end, all it is first this, then that, right? If you get this done, then you get this. And I think every parent does some of that. So I don't want you to feel like, oh, if I go that route, it's all downhill from now. It's not. It's just, it could just be a holding place, meaning like this is just for right now. And then once he's back in a different kind of, you know, educational setting, he won't need behavioral modification, you know? So if you try it, don't sweat it. Just give it a shot. And if you don't worry about it. Like there, I'm not saying absolutely do it. I'm just saying, if you try it, don't feel like you're screwing up his brain.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. You're welcome, Millie. We got you. We're sending you love, sending you support. Yeah,
thank you.
Kim said we had a chat with some of the teachers about just expecting the work, not all the fluff stuff. My high schoolers didn't want to do busy work. It was also helpful to connect one-on-one over Zoom with the teachers. So there was a personal connection. So sending some strength. Jennifer says, how much do they really learn in third grade? my kids are grown, so it's hard for her to remember. And Chase says, what if the reward was educational based regarding World War II? So, you know, we're just trying to throw some ideas at Millie and seeing what sticks. So,
and let me say this for those of you that, you know, maybe you're in a situation like Millie's where your kid doesn't want to do all, you know, certain things in the classroom. Like, remember that a teacher is creating a classroom to accommodate a lot of different learners and a lot of different types of kids. So, like, I noticed this morning, my youngest daughter was doing a lot of activities that were just kind of fun. They were like, go run and find something pink, go run and find, you know, work in a group and figure. And why the teacher's doing that is because she's trying to create connection between the kids and she's trying to create a sense of fun. But that's not, and there's learning in that, don't get me wrong, but those are things that kids who don't like that or who are a little more introverted, they're not, it's okay if they missed that. Does that make sense? Like, so this is why, you know, a teacher's got anywhere from 20, maybe 14 to 35 kids, and they're trying to like make sure they cover all the bases. But if a parent came in and said, my kid really struggles in this 10 minutes, the teacher could be like, okay, just, you know, I mean, if it's a teacher who understands that children learn in different ways. So I'm just kind of giving you, sometimes as parents, because we remember the way school was structured, we almost go into our child selves of, I have to do what the principal says and what the teacher says, or I'm in trouble. Do you know what I mean? Like our inner child shows up and then we're like scared for our kid. And you have to remember that advocating for your kid isn't about bucking the system. It's about saying, can we do this creatively so my kid does feel safe, but I'm still honoring what the teacher's doing? You know, I always say, be collaborative with the teacher. You don't go against the teacher. You don't fight the teacher. You say, I totally understand why you're doing what you're doing, but can I bring this to it too?
Two last things. One is Nikki said, change up the where he works in a tree, jumping on a trampoline. She said, my son had massive anxiety last year. Psychologist recommending we pay him daily to go to school. This was the only reason he went. This year he didn't ask for it as he didn't need it. So that's what's interesting. You just got to loosen the grip. Like even I and Kathy have these like kind of rules, like loosen the grip on whatever rules you have and just play with it.
Well, and Todd, don't you feel like personally we get forced to loosen the grip? Like our kids, like we all kind of come into parenting no matter what age our kids are, if they're babies or they're teens, and we're like, this is how I want it to go. This is how I think it should be. And then it doesn't go that way. And our first initial impulse is, it shouldn't be this way. I can't believe it's this way. How do I get it away? And then all of a sudden, again, like everything, we start to expand and say, maybe there's another way. Like maybe I'm just looking in this myopic, you know, I'm just looking through one hole and there's a million different ways to view this. And so for Nikki, it was, well, I'm just going to throw this at the wall, you know, let's pay him to do this. And then now it's not a thing. So it's not, and again, it doesn't mean everyone should do that. Like, yeah. I think you guys know that well enough on this team. It's not about everyone should do this thing. It's never like that, but it's like creativity doesn't mean just making artwork. Creativity means being creative in your thinking and being expansive in how you view an experience and remembering what it's like to be in a kid's head. Yeah. You know what it's like.
And Ryan said, Millie, if you're looking to look into unschooling, Danya Martin has a book called Radical Unschooling, where she approaches unschooling as a parenting lifestyle rather than a schooling technique, driven by the child's passions and curiosities. That could be a great place to start. So thank you for that, Ryan. Yeah. I'm going to pause real quick and just two things. So this is our 100th Zen Talk. So I'm really kind of excited and celebrating that. I sent an email yesterday saying we have these old conference t-shirts that we never sold. And just as a gift to you all, and some of you have already emailed me back, but I'm going to share with you what the shirts are. So this is the first one. Can you read that? More of the story. Then on the back, it's got that, and it's a V-neck. So this was last year. And then this is one, I don't know what year this was.
But that was last year, or that was 2019.
This one's 2019?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't even know what it says. Kind heart, fierce mind, brave spirit, nice V-neck, Zen Parenting Radio on the back. And then the last one is, let's see what this one says.
That was 2018.
Believe in the good. I believe there is good. Thank you, sweetie. So I can't take requests, but I can't promise you'll get what you want. But if you want, you could say, hey, give me this one with this size. And if I have it, I'll give it to you. If I don't have it, then I'll give you a the same size in a different shirt, because I'm pretty sure we can fill everybody up who wants it. So just email me, todd@zenparentingradio.com, with your address, preference of a shirt, or you don't care which one, and just give me your size. And then the other thing I want to share my screen real quick. And this is just an opportunity for you guys to understand what's available as team members. So I'm going to share my screen. And this is me logged into my account, Zen Parenting Radio. I should put a picture in there. I don't know why I didn't. You guys all have this. And if you click on the drop-down arrow under Team Zen, it says Edit Profile or Membership Directory. This is an invitation. You don't have to do any of this. But if you want to get to know each other a little bit better, we created this membership directory. So I'm going to click on it. And it will bring up all of our team members and then have different profiles. So you can, it's kind of cool. You can search by state. So you can choose by country, and you can also choose by the state. So, you know, Ryan's in Texas and he's like, oh, I wonder who else is in Texas. There's a quick way of doing that. And then as you scroll down, you can see who, city, state, open to connect. That's like the invitation. Like, yeah, I'd like to get an email from a teammate who wants to talk more about whatever. Background, favorite TV shows, favorite books. So this is our whole team. And not, I would say maybe a third of the people have filled out their profiles. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that that's there. I don't think I've done a very good job of communicating that to you all. So that's just... It's just an invitation, an offering. So Millie bailed. I think she went to talk to the school. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see. Megan said, this reminded me, I think I told Kyan it was his job to go to school. So I gave him a salary of $1 a day and it really helped. That's because money was his currency. This only happened in third grade. Fourth grade was not an issue. So the second person who used that as a way to kind of get through. And it looks like Helen has a question. So I'm going to unmute Helen. I'm going to invite Helen to unmute herself. There you are. Hi, Helen.
Hi there.
What's up?
Yeah, I have a question about my kid's new class that she's just got into. We found out during the summer that she was in a class with only 16 kids rather than the normal 20, 22. And it had two teachers, and the reason being that they'd sort of taken the kids who'd been held back for a year, or in one case even 2 years, and they'd put them into the same class. And this was kind of like, it was really a curveball, because I think even the day before I'd had a conversation with a friend who'd told me about this class and said like what a strange one it was, and some of the kids' mothers of the kids got held back. They had to sign something to go into this class. And anyway, it was all like, you know, hope my kid's not in that class. And then it ended up that Emily was in that class. And so like it wasn't very pleasant for a period of time. So much so that I actually phoned up the headmaster and like basically said, look, you know, if you're going to do this, like give us some warning, because we'd actually spoken to her last teacher during the last week of term and she had said nothing. But he just kept saying, oh yeah, it's a normal class. It's, you know, it's there's nothing different. And well, obviously it is different because it's slightly smaller. It's got these sort of three kids put together. In fact, it might even be more anyway. And has two teachers as well. But so it's obviously, it's not necessarily worse. And in principle, I'm very supportive having like, you know, a mixture of people, because I don't like it when it's really like if anything, the culture is very like, you know, the norm is very narrow and tight, and that really kind of, it bothers me. And so in principle, I don't mind, but it's just how I heard about it. Anyway, so I'm hearing lots of different information, and it's just, have you got any advice for just like holding the course here? Because, you know, I like the idea that school's a game, and, you know, it's like the education system is part of the education. But at the same time, I don't really want her to suffer because of it, because we didn't, you know, anticipate something and didn't support her in the right way or push for something that we should have done. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Any ideas?
I have a question, Helen. What does your daughter think about the class?
Oh, she's fine with it.
Then that's it. You're done.
Yeah.
It's fine. And the thing is the story has been told to you a certain way, that the class is somehow wrong or different, or there's certain kids in it, or there's something wrong with the kids, or that they're putting a group of kids together that are somehow challenged. And I just call bullshit on all of it. I think educators are, and again, I don't know your school, and I'm not saying, oh, educators are smarter than that, because obviously we've seen that's not always the case. But most of the time, they're not doing anything intentionally to, they would never harm these kids. You know what I mean? They're not saying, let's put all these difficult kids together. And then, you know, they're actually putting two teachers with a smaller group of kids. And if your daughter is fine with it, then that's all you need. And you, and when people are like, oh, I'm so glad my kid's not in that class, you can either say nothing, or you can say, my kid's actually enjoying it. Like, you don't have to follow the story of the community. Like, the amount of, and I'm telling you this, and I think everybody can relate, the stories in our communities about what's good, what our kids need, what's bad. Like, I know I've told you a million stories, but my kids, you know, they were never in the reach or the gifted, and they were never accelerated, and they all needed reading remediation. And a lot of parents were just appalled by, oh my God, I would never want my kid to have that. My kids didn't care. They don't know. Like, they're not like, oh, I'm part of the, like, I know as kids get older, they're much more concerned about what other kids think about them. But if your kid right now is like, yeah, I'm in this class and I'm doing okay, you just support her where she is. Unless you see an inherent problem with her safety or her emotional well-being, what the community has to say about it, it's a good mindfulness practice for you to be like, thank you, but no thank you. You don't have to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about, because I mean, maybe a bit old school now, but this idea that like the teacher's expectations have a big influence over how the kids respond. And I mean, I believe that is true. And you know, it goes back to like the first question, I think, was really about how much do you push and how much do you kind of like let it develop naturally. And I was thinking about like in my own life, you know, like the stuff that I've done, where I am now, even who I'm married to, and you know, like all of this type of stuff, it makes a massive difference, because I went through some, you know, stuff earlier on that if like now I would probably say, this is really not for me, and I would just give up. And it was simply just, I just didn't know I had an option to stop and change course. I just kept going, you know? So it's like, it has a big influence on your life. So
it does. And I think what parents believe is that they're the only ones that are going to be there to motivate their kids. And that your daughter may be motivated by a peer, by a teacher, by a coach, by an athlete, by a celebrity, and that it is not your job to always motivate your kid. Like, trust the fact that a lot of those experiences you had where you're like, wow, I got pushed, or wow, I didn't know that, not everything came from your parents. Like, you know, and we think it all falls on us. Like, if I don't motivate my kid, nobody's going to. That's not true. Our kids look, a lot of the things that propelled me forward had nothing to do with my parents. It was my own pain.
I think it's just, I don't want to drop the ball and the stuff I'm responsible for. And
Understood. And you know, just to keep yourself feeling like, okay, I'm on top of this, you not like every day says that class, okay, but you know, pay attention. How's she doing in there?
Yeah.
But I also think that sometimes, like, that belief that what teachers, the amount teachers, the expectation is what drives a kid's abilities. And there is some research on that. That's true. But it's also true that some kids need a smaller class size and more teachers. They don't negate each other. They work together. And those teachers might push her in a different way than she would be pushed in another class. There isn't a good class and a bad class. There isn't a right and a wrong. It is more about, is my kid okay? And if she demonstrates to you that she's not, that's where you do. But what the community thinks about the course, don't try to distance yourself from that, because your kid's doing okay.
Yeah, my friend did a lot of backpedaling, because basically, like, she had to cope with me after I had a heart attack. She was, oh my God, she's in the back glass. So I think she learned a lesson as well.
I think she did. She got her foot in her mouth. And that was and I don't know your friend, she's wonderful, but it was also an early judgment that she probably shouldn't have made. She's like taking that information, milling it through her own brain, thinking that makes kids different or an outcast, and then I wouldn't want it. It was a whole story she had made up. It was a story. It wasn't truth. It was just a story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm going to It's the second time I brought this guy up today, but maybe this will help Helen. It's just a good reminder. One of my favorite poems, I'm not much of a poem guy, but Khalil Gibran is this Lebanese poet, and he wrote this book. What was the name of the book, sweetie, that he wrote? Do you remember The Prophet? Does that sound right?
The Prophet, yeah.
He wrote like these quick poems on all these different topics. And the one he wrote on children, I think I've even shared this on Team Zen, so it may be repetitive, but, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just the parts that speak most to me. He said, I think this is important for all of us, including me, to really integrate. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow. So, and that's about half the poem, but I think that's enough to share. But it's inspiring to me whenever I get stuck. Like, what am I doing here? Like, am I really that frustrated at my kid for doing whatever it is that they're doing? And I'm not, this has nothing to do with Helen anymore. It's just like parenting. Like, it's so easy for us to get caught up in the right ways to parent. And sometimes, like, sometimes my mantra is like, keep them safe and get out of their way. Like, that's a foundational value for me. Like, when I get stuck, like, are they safe? Yes. And just trust. So anyway.
Well, and you know, one thing I remember we talked about on a Zen talk at some point this year is, what if your kid wasn't your kid, it was someone else's kid, but they were asking you for help? What would you do? And it seems so clear, like, well, I just help them, or I just let them do it. But as parents, not only are we emotionally tied, but we feel the pressure that we have to do everything right. And our ego is also involved. And I want people to think I'm a good parent and my kid's a good kid. So, but when it's another person's kid, we're like, oh, it's, the answer's obvious. And so sometimes we have to create that distance between ourselves and our children, where we say, what does this child need? And the prophet, you know, saying your child comes through you, but it's not of you. It's not your child. They are themselves, and you get to raise them. So how do you raise this kid? They're not a piece of you. They're not supposed to become you. They are themselves. And it's just a good reminder.
I'm going to read what Megan said. Megan is loving on you and I, sweetie.
Kathy, oh, good.
I just want to say thank you for helping me to get through this summer. You offered me some great support on a Zen talk at the beginning of the summer. I was grieving what we were losing, and your words provided me with a mindset switch that totally helped. Here we are at the end of summer, and I'm actually sad about it. Mm. It made such a difference to me throughout my years as a team member. Thank you, and happy 100th episode.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, Megan. It's so nice. I'll take that praise. And Lisa said, my kids are doing hybrid for high school and half grade level and building at a time. So I'm thrilled they have smaller class sizes and more focused attention. Teacher has 50% of size to focus on at a time. So for our youngest, this was a blessing with less distraction. Congratulations on 100 sessions. So grateful I found this community. Thank you guys. We don't do this, believe me, we don't do it for the money. We do it because we love doing it. And I'm grateful to all of you, because it's fun to kind of like have a deeper conversation on the podcast. Kathy and I have to be a little more, I don't know, what's the word, sweetie?
Podcasty.
And, you know, we can kind of just drop our shield a little bit, take off our mask a little bit, because we know it's just 125 of you and not the, whatever, 6,000 or however many listen to us on a weekly basis. So I just want to say thanks to all of you. You guys have been, most of you have been with us a long time, and some of you are brand new, and I'm just very grateful. I'm feeling very grateful in this moment. So thank you.
Thank you, friends. Glad we're a community.
So it's 1 o'clock. I don't know when the next Zen Talk will be. Kathy and I will talk maybe next week, but the week after for sure. So sometime the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to do something crazy that Kathy always loves. I'm just going to unmute everybody if I can. Ask all to unmute and just say goodbye, I guess.
Peace and love.
Bye.
Bye.
Congratulations on getting to 100.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you, everybody.
Keep trucking.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.